Well, as we come into the Lord's courts and bring an offering, we now come to His Word, looking to Him to nourish us, even as we bring our worship to Him. Our passage tonight for our sermon comes from Revelation, last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 14. Verses 1 through 5 will be our text for consideration. And just as you're turning there, I'll remind you to think about the name of the book, Revelation, a book that so often can confuse so many. It can seem mysterious. We think, wow, why is this in here? Well, it's meant to give revelation, meant to reveal. So bear that in mind. And as we narrow into our text on chapter 14, I'll just note that John had been writing here various visions, and in chapter 13, he was describing the beast, false prophets, and the chaos and the havoc that they would wreak on the earth. And then, like a breath of fresh air, John has this vision of heaven. So that's the passage we are coming to tonight. So listen now to the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with Him 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Thus ends the reading of God's inerrant and perfect Word. May He be pleased to write it on our hearts today and forever. Well, it is Labor Day weekend, and often with Labor Day weekend comes family gatherings, food, perhaps a cookout. And I wonder if you've had that experience where you show up at the party or you walk into the kitchen and you're met with this wonderful smell of perhaps barbecue or that chocolate cake or that pie that's being baked. And what's the reaction that you have? Your mouth begins to water. An automatic response to this experience. As Christians, when we come to a text like this, our spiritual taste buds ought to begin to water and to long to have a taste of this type of experience. But we know that when it comes to taste buds, even our physical taste buds, sometimes we need to train. If you have kids, you know that things of the green variety and other such colors require some training. The kids need to learn to appreciate that which is good, that which is going to help them grow. Similarly, as Christians, we need to have our taste buds, our spiritual taste buds, trained and taught and informed to appreciate that which is good and nourishing for our souls. Tonight's text is a descriptive passage. Really, it's painting a picture. It's not prescriptive, giving us explicit direction. But if we spend some time here studying, I believe that we will discover at least three reasons that we ought to worship the victorious Lamb. Three reasons that we ought to worship the victorious Lamb who has redeemed you. And the first reason is that the Lamb is victorious and the church stands with him. We come into verse 1. Kind of like the focus of a camera lens, John says, "Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb." We've got to pause and ask ourselves, who is this Lamb? It says that it's a person, right? And with him, there was this 144,000. And immediately, we need to begin interpreting Scripture with Scripture. Who is this Lamb that's on Mount Zion? John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This Lamb is none other than Jesus Christ who takes away the sin of the world. That's who's standing on Mount Zion. And why a Lamb? Well, this is echoing back to the Old Testament where there were lambs and other animals that were sacrificed, pointing ahead to the need for the remission of sin, the taking away of sin, the shedding of blood was necessary. And Jesus is that final sacrifice, that lamb that was slain, but now is standing. He is no longer slain, but he is standing on Mount Zion. And note that he's on Mount Zion. What is the significance of that? Well, Mount Zion was this place in the Old Testament where the people of God would meet. We sing about Mount Zion quite often. You put your radar signal up for that in the future. A lot of reference to it. Hebrews 12:22 says that this Zion is the true city of the living God. This is not so much talking about a physical location as it is a spiritual reality. It's a place representing victory. And as Psalm 2, verse 6 says, God speaking, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." By the very fact that we see this lamb pictured on Mount Zion, we can learn that this lamb is victorious. I think the kids can even understand this. Have you ever played the game called King of the Mountain? Or maybe King of the Rock? What's the goal of that game? The goal is to see who can be on the top. And whoever's on the top, they're the king. I've seen it happen over here at the playset. Whoever's on the top, they're the king. That's the imagery that we have here. Jesus, the Lamb, is victorious. And what is the victory? It's not just some game that he is the victor of. This is the whole theme of Revelation. Jesus, the Lamb that stands, is victorious over Satan, the enemy. He has conquered death. He has defeated the curse. And it was true when John wrote these words that Jesus was standing on the throne or on the mountain. It will be true into eternity. And it is true today that Jesus, the Lamb, stands on Mount Zion in victory. And friends, it doesn't matter who may think that they are in power today. Jesus is the president of presidents. Regardless of who sits on the throne of this world, who sits there in Washington in January having won the election, Jesus, the Lamb, stands in victory. Jesus, because he laid down his life, he earned the right as the God-man to be the king. And thus he stands today. And this ought to cause worship to rise within us if we grasp this picture. And if that's not enough, notice who's standing with him. It says that with the Lamb, there was 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. These are those who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. This number, 144,000, of course, has created all sorts of confusion and wild interpretations of what it means. You just need to know today that this is speaking of the full, complete church of God throughout all ages. This is representing the full church. This is saying that nobody is left out. All are standing with the Lamb. We have the combination of the numbers 10 and 12 is how we get to that without going into more detail. Not a single one is left out. And this ought to give you encouragement that you, in a sense, are even pictured here tonight in our text, standing with the Lamb as you are united to Him in victory. So this is the first reason that we have to worship tonight, friends. And as we continue, we come to our second reason for worship. That is that you have been given a new song to sing. You have reason to worship the victorious Lamb because you have been given a new song to sing. You see, we had this first a picture, and now kind of like going from a silent film to one with sound. Starting in verse 2, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters." Have you ever been walking down a trail in the woods and you begin to hear this dull rumble in the distance? And as you continue down the path, you get closer to the waterfall and it just gets louder and louder and louder to the point where you are standing next to the waterfall and it's deafening. You can't even hear yourself talk. Maybe you've been to Niagara Falls, and it's just absolutely this massive sound. It, like John compares it to the sound of loud thunder. This is the sound. This is the voice that John is hearing here. No doubt would make you feel very small. Like at a sporting event where people are just shouting. You can't even hear yourself. But it's not just that loud type of sound. It's also sweet and melodious. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. A very gentle instrument. Think of King David who played for Saul when he was faced with anxiety. This is the sound that John is hearing here. Not only is it overpowering in a sweet sound, but it is a new song. They were singing a new song. And the fact that it's a new song, as I mentioned earlier, is significant. If you were to trace this out, the phrase new song occurs at least 6 times in the book of Psalms. And in every instance, it's connected with a victory. You can find this in the prophets as well. There's always a victory connected to this idea of a new song. And the people here are singing a new song. Why? Because as we've already established, the Lamb is victorious. And this is not just for anybody to sing. This is only for those who have the mark of the Father, who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Only those who have been redeemed can learn this song. You can't sing this song if you don't have a new heart, if you haven't been redeemed. But this is a song for those who have been redeemed. People these days will say, there's not much worth singing about. There's not much good news. I will admit I don't track closely with the songs that are coming out in 2020. But I have heard enough to know that the songs that are being written today, particularly in this year, are not hopeful. They are not songs of victory. Brothers and sisters, despite the circumstances around you, you have a song of victory to sing. You have a new song to sing. And as we gather together as God's people, we are joining our voices, even tonight, with this heavenly chorus. I don't know if you can hear it or if you grasp it every time, but we are uniting our voices, even today, with those who started this morning in the east with the rising of the sun and have continued all through the day worshiping the victorious Lamb. Can you hear the sound? Is this the sound that you have in your ears as you gather? Whether there's 20 people, whether there's 80 people, or whether there's 2 million people, this is the song that we are all singing together. Can you hear the sound, brothers and sisters, of this thunderous worship? Sadly, I'm convinced that even the circumstances of this year have served to deafen the ears of some. They've been away long enough that they're not really hearing this sound anymore. And because they're not really hearing this sound of worship of the Lamb, they're enjoying other things. Their taste buds have changed to the point that they may not return. I know that there's many circumstances that are keeping away keeping people away from worship, and that is right and good. But there is undoubtedly a percentage of people who are tuning out corporate worship and are losing their taste. Brothers and sisters, you are called as the church to live a life of praise. You are called to be a singing people. I don't care if you're not good at singing. Add to the sound of thunder and lift your voice. And that is a beautiful song of victory. We're going to do it one day. One day those vocal cords, they're going to be redeemed. And so you might as well begin warming up. You might as well begin training your taste buds so that you're ready for that day when you're in the flesh worshiping. As Jonathan Edwards has said, if ever we would go to heaven, we must be fitted for heaven in this world. We must here have our souls molded and fashioned for that work and that happiness. How are you doing at getting ready? Now, I know that some of you may not feel victorious in your life right now. And in a very real sense, you may look back at the past week and say, no, really, I have not been living victoriously. The sins I have committed this week, the filth that's on my hands, this is not really describing me. For you, you've been enjoying the junk food of this world and have lost your spiritual taste buds. And if that describes you this evening, weak, struggling Christian, you also have reason to worship tonight. Because the Lamb promises to sanctify and redeem you. This is our third reason to worship, that the Lamb will sanctify and redeem you. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. John here is describing spiritual purity and faithfulness. In the Old Testament, sexual purity and sexual purity was compared to faithfulness to God. And impurity and adultery was compared to unfaithfulness to God. Think of the prophet Hosea when his wife was unfaithful. That was a comparison of the people of God and their relationship to him. So as we read the text here again, we have to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture and understand that John is not talking about a group of 144,000 celibate men, and these are the only ones who get to heaven. Understand that to which this is pointing. This is pointing to all those who are faithful, and sanctified, and pure in heart. Now you might say, well, if that's me, I can live how I want. And you might take this as a license to sin. This is not giving you a license to sin tonight. Instead, this is a call for you to live in holiness. This is a call for you tonight to live in uprightness and to walk in a blameless manner. To follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Now again, you may think back to the week prior here and think, how have I done at that? Does this really describe me? Even this morning, I was reminded of how I have not faithfully fought back against the curse with my lips. And I'm sure you can think of ways in which you sinned with your lips this week, and ways in which you sinned in other manners. So how can this describe you? Well, this can only describe you because of the work of the Lamb. God is the one who offers redemption. This is describing the way that God sees you as He views you through the lens of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the work on the cross. This redemption came at a cost, but this was Jesus who laid down His life. This is describing you and your identity as you are united to Christ. And so tonight, as you see this description, see this as a description of yourself in Christ. And let it be a call for you to become that which you are in Christ. And if this doesn't at all describe you tonight in any way, shape, or form, He offers salvation. As we heard this morning from Isaiah, "Come, all who are thirsty." Jesus offers food without money and without price. So tonight, if you are the weak, struggling Christian, you too have reason to worship the Lamb because He offers to redeem you. As we close, are you longing for heaven? Does your soul see a description of heaven here in verses 1 through 5 and long to be there standing in victory with the Lamb? Do you have that hunger in your heart? Are your taste buds watering to be rid of the curse, to be standing in victory? Well, even your yearning and your imperfect longing for heaven tonight is an expression of this type of worship. One day, we will see with unveiled face the Lamb who stands in victory. We will see the reality to which all of this points. So may we today continue developing our heavenly taste buds, and may we worship the victorious Lamb who has redeemed us tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son to redeem us. And we praise the Lamb tonight who stands on Mount Zion high and lifted up. And Lord, we long to be there in the flesh. And until then, we thank You that we can join our voices together in lifting up this song of praise, this new song of victory to you tonight. And may you help us as we grow in our ability to follow the Lamb wherever He goes in our day-to-day walk with Him. Be with us. Join in our praise tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.